This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 15th of September 2015, and my name is Patrick Smith. The Belfast Giants came away from the weekend with 4 points. There is plenty to talk about, and we'll also have Derek Walser, Chris Beach and Brandon Benedict on our show. We have a fantastic announcement to make as well regards the NCAA tournament. We'll be looking to you to set the agenda. There'll be all our bits and pieces. And we have the recipient of the first Taxi Award of this season. If you want to get in contact with us, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. That's our email. @AVFTB on Twitter. We're on Periscope now as well. I did a few Periscope videos, so keep an eye on that. www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is our website, and soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our post-game interviews. Davey and Aaron are sitting waiting for us, so let's not wait around any longer. Well, it was a successful weekend for the Belfast Giants, both on and off the ice. We've got a hell of a lot to talk about. And to start off, as usual, I'll introduce my good friends. First of all, Mr. David McGimsey, how are you?
Good evening, Paddy. I see that I'm getting a little bit of stick this week from Mr. Endicott about at least this week I'll be able to tell the truth about the good performances. I thought I had it fairly straight last week, but here, I'm ready to go.
Well, everyone's a critic, mate. Everyone's a critic. Yeah. And speaking of which, Aaron Kernahan, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Hi, Paddy. Hi, David.
How are you, mate?
A very successful weekend for the Belfast Giants. And in this show, we're going to be chatting with Derek Walser, player coach of the Belfast Giants, Chris Beach, who scored that overtime winner in Nottingham, and Brandon Benedict, who was on the end of a sublime pass from Chris Higgins on Saturday night. A few other bits and pieces, and we'll start off with that first game at the SSE Arena. The Manchester Storm come to Belfast for the first time in almost 13 years, but unfortunately for them, and great for the Belfast Giants in this league matchup, they leave with a 6-2 defeat. The Giants' goals, 2 for Peacock, 1 for Adepam, Boxall, Benedict and Forney for the Storm. Siska and Scarsella. Mike Raja was the healthy scratch for the weekend. He wasn't ready to play, so Brandon Benedict stepped in and, of course, scored. Aaron, you know, the Giants took the lead, but 2 power play goals from the Storm and they were right back in it. And at the end of the first period, the Giants looked as if they really had to come out and react.
Yeah, I have to say, the first period, I didn't think the Giants played particularly well. Now, it did take the lead on a goal that, at the time, it was a bit of a confusing one. There was a delayed reaction from sort of everyone from the crowd. In fact, I don't think the goal horn even played. Haven't watched it again. You know, I think it was eventually forced over the line. So, you know, it was a scrappy goal, but Giants took the lead, and you sort of thought, well, maybe that'll help them settle down. Then a few sort of softish penalties, and as you say, the Storm got a couple of power play goals, a couple of very nice power play goals, really passed the puck around really, you know, very nicely. We talked last week about how fast they were, and they showed that. And, you know, the Storm showed they're going to be a good side, and I think they're going to take some scalps. But then into the second period and the third, and I think the Giants really did dominate. And to be honest, Zane Kalemba in the Storm goal had a fantastic game and probably kept the score down a bit. And I think I was particularly, having spoken to Noel during the game, that I believe that he'd been quite ill during the day as well. So, you know, it was a pretty impressive performance from him, considering that as well.
Davey, you were watching this on Giants TV, and I can tell from when I was talking to Sizz in between the breaks that he wasn't best impressed with Dean Smith and the calls that he was making. Those 2 power play goals for the Manchester Storm, you know, they were, as Aaron said, they were making use of the space and were able to basically pass the way into the back of the net. So what were your thoughts?
I think if we take the goals that Manchester scored first of all. I think you've seen a big difference in the second and third periods as to how we played on the penalty kill for a start. And those first couple of penalty kills, we played a really, really tight box around Murphy. Second period, third period, it was, and in the Sunday, pressure, pressure, pressure on the puck. I think Shane Johnson actually talked about it on the webcast on Saturday night about the only way with the slightly bigger offensive zone now, with the blue line moving back over the last sort of 18 months or whatever, however long it's been now, 2 seasons maybe. The extra space, you've got to pressurize the puck, you've got to pressure. And you see the likes of Cardiff on their penalty kill. That's, you know, that's their sort of go-to system. Get at the puck, and let your goalie see the puck. And, you know, the goalie's going, if he can see it, he'll save it generally in this league. So, you know, we pressured the puck a lot more in the second and third periods. Those first ones, as I say, we sat in tight and we paid the price for that. They moved us about. Scarsella, we talked about last week, Scarsella, Siska, Davies, all the very good games. Orange had it right in the head there. Kalemba had a very, very good game between about. I slightly disagree with him. I sat down and really got a zoom in and all on the game tape. I don't think the puck was forced across the line for the first one, but hey, good luck for us. You know, it got us off the mark, and who else but Craig Peacock sniping a power play goal?
Yeah, the coming into that second period, Andy, that reaction, though, those three unanswered goals, and the Giants really just took hold of that match. And the Storm, they lack in a bit of British depth. They lack in depth probably right across the field, but they sort of ran out of juice the longer that game went on.
They did, but I think, you know, the Giants, it was the Giants' pressure. I mean, I think we started to see what Derek Walzer's talked about, you know, the real high pressure sort of cycle and attacking game that he's been talking about preseason, starting to click maybe a bit more as the game went on. Yeah, probably was helped by the fact that we were rolling probably a few, you know, more lines than the Storm were able to, which did mean that they tired out. But, you know, I think it was as much the Giants' good performance as anything really that the Storm did.
Davey, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't want to get into this whole podcast of I agree with you. I think that it was just that attritional, just kept grinding at them. Getting Keith Lloyd, Garside, Boxall, just going, doing the dirty stuff in the corner all the time. And we're getting possession. Like, I talked to Sizz before the game about Chris Beach, and he's an absolute, you think Mike Compton was a beast in the face-off circle last year. Chris Beach is, and it's clean face-off wins. It's not just, you know, we're not having to go and battle to get the puck back to D-man. He is winning so many clean face-offs straight to D-man's stick, and you've got really good possession then, especially in the attacking zone. All of a sudden, you've got the big picture to play with. We really came out that second, third, I think you both said there, we were very, very quiet in the first period. I don't know whether it was first night stage fright, 5,500 people in. Credit to Brooksy and all those boys in the office that have done that. Unbelievable. 5,500 people, said it the other day on Twitter, don't just turn up. That's hard, hard work to get those people in through the door. So credit the organisation massively because the players feed off that atmosphere. Maybe, as we say, a bit of stage fright in the first 20 minutes, but we came out, and when the crowd really got into it, we started really thriving. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about some of the plays that went on Saturday night, but some of the hockey that we played on Saturday night was really, really special hockey.
It's funny you say, yeah, we'll come on to the plays in just a second, but as you've brought up the crowd, 5,500 people in the SSE arena, means it's the largest opening night crowd since the very first game that we ever played there. And a real credit to the likes of Brooksy and Glover and all the guys who worked so hard behind the scenes to get that, because I thought the arena looked great. I know there's a few people complaining about little minor things like the toilets weren't right. I don't know. The hand dryers became a big issue. I have no idea how the hand dryers become a big issue when you put a £5 million upgrade and people, there's so much being put into it, and they'll find the littlest things.
The hand dryers are the issue. Get the fair fact to say they've done a good job.
Yeah, I think so. But you see, we had a quiet opener. Maybe that stage fright with the 5,500 in. But I thought the atmosphere in there, Aaron, which is why I'm just looking at the Twitter questions, and we have one from at Vidal Tattoo. Is that Alistair? I think at Vidal Tattoo says, did you think the atmosphere on Saturday was a bit flat during the Giants Storm game? I don't know about you, Aaron, but because you were up with alongside myself in Boomerang Corner, but I felt the atmosphere. There was a bit of a lull when the Giants were trying to fight back into the game, but overall, I thought the night was excellent.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there were a few lulls. I think it took a while even like the, it's one of those things in sport, you know, the first period, I think there was a bit of a lull in the crowd. Again, you know, who leads it? Do the team lead or does the crowd lead the team? I think obviously they feed off each other. The team maybe weren't playing as well, so maybe people were feeling a bit nervous. As the team got better, the crowd got louder. As the crowd got louder, the team kept playing better. So it all, you know, it all sort of worked together in the end. And I thought by the end, I mean, Boomerang Corner was absolutely fantastic. It's actually the first time I've ever sat up in there. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I was getting a bit annoyed at the end.
too much shouting.
I wanted to watch some hockey at the point. I was too busy laughing at some of the chants as well. So, you know, no, I thought it was fantastic and it got better. And, you know, I think it'll grow from here. And the crowd will respond to what's happening on the ice as well.
And my personal favorite was, if you love Neil Russell, clap your hands and silence.
Apart from one guy on the drum clap.
But the big man took it well. Davey, we'll come actually back to the game, and we'll talk about the thing that's been dominating social media and various websites for the last couple of days, and that is number 68, Chris Higgins, showing the Belfast Giants crowd exactly what they missed last season.
Yeah, I've got a smile on my face here thinking about, you know, give Chris Higgins an awful lot of stick last season, and rightly so. You can't leave the Belfast Giants and go to Nottingham Panthers. I'm sorry, I'll stick by that. But he's seen the light and he's came back, and wow, what a player. We talked often last season about how that type of player, or in fact that player, was so badly missed in Belfast last season, just to unlock the defence, to do something special that no other player on the ice can see. And he did it twice on Saturday night. The through the leg pass to Benedict for his goal, it was, you know, would have been highlight reel on its own, as Sis called it on the way. But my goodness, his one hand dangle and backhand no look. Well, when I say no look, he knew exactly where Forney was. He was looking for him. Absolutely sensational pass. And the thing about Chris Higgins, we've been lucky enough, we've seen all four games so far this season. He is a different player. He back checks like a beast now. He's put on size and his body stronger. Yeah. And he's buying in the Walser's team ethic. He's not that floaty around player that's scared to go in. There was criticism of him the last time he was in Belfast that there might have been times that, not that he took shifts off, but when the going got tough, he could disappear a wee bit. He wasn't that physical. See this scene? He's came back. He's stronger. He's going into the corners. You only need to look at a goal on Sunday night to see the effort level that was required to get into that crease to get, and bang, bang, to get that puck between the legs. You know, this is a different beast, Chris Higgins, this season, and long may continue, but his goals or his assists for Forney and Benedict were something else, and they've made the news all across the hockey world. Hockey News, CBS, all across America, North America are picking this story up, and it just highlights. I'm hoping that somebody's not going to come in and offer him a bag of gold to disappear.
I think a few people on Twitter worried about that self. And I think one of the things it reminded me of, especially that second assist, was, I don't know, you were stood next to me at the time, Davey, but the goal he scored against the Cardiff Devils the last time he was with the Giants, where he sort of was mid-air and was able just to reach one hand and poke it into the back of the net. You know, it shows you the guy has got such control over the stick, such vision with the puck, that it's exactly what we missed. Aaron, you were with us up there in Boomerang Corner, and the place went absolutely ballistic.
It was funny. It was one of those ones where there was almost a silence before the cheer, because I think it did take people a second just to realise what actually had happened. It was fantastic. It was as good, if not one of the best goals I've seen in the Odyssey in all the years I've been going. And I think the important thing, actually, himself and Forney seem to be linking up really, really well so far in the games. And I think that's the start of maybe a potential, you know, Forney, we know what he can do.
Yeah.
If someone like Higgins is able to set him up, you know, we could be in for some very enjoyable nights with those two working together.
Well, I believe those two guys have played before, and maybe in their first year pro. I know it was mentioned in one of the interviews. But yeah, a 6-2 win for the Belfast Giants. And the new player coach was very happy.
Following the victory over the Manchester Storm, I'm joined here in the tunnel by the player coach, Derek Walser. Coach, first home game and a big win, that's a real statement.
I'm extremely happy with the guys. Stuck to the system, we've been working on it, trying to nail it down, and they nailed it down pretty good. We do not give up space. We play skating forward hockey, and we work teams down. And you know what? Thorts again did a good job getting us four lines that we can actually use the whole game, and we wore down their three lines. And in the third period, we just kept coming and coming, and that's a huge credit for the guys coming in camp in shape and nailing down the system.
coming in after that first period, being 2-1 down, there had to be a reaction from you guys coming out onto the ice into that second, and there was three unanswered goals.
Well, I was actually happy at the first period when we just, you know, they have a good power play. We know that. We just have to be cautious of it. We made a couple little minor mistakes. We made adjustments, but we can't take those type of penalties. I know maybe they're 50-50 on the penalty chart, but again, they're behind the play. They're not really a factor in the game. We don't need those. And knowing refereeing, we have this referee 10 in the next 12 games, so we got to make sure we know what's going on, especially the two guys have been in the league for a while. They know what he calls. So it was just sort of a reminder that we're not a team that's going to take useless penalties. We'll take aggressive penalties, but not those ones behind the play.
And one thing up in the stands we saw is that a number of the goals, especially in that third period, quite pretty to watch. Chris Higgins throwing a bit of flair in there.
We get some skill, and that comes with hard work. That line sets it for us all. They play well offensively, and they played well defensively. And I congratulate them after the game because that line is our number one line. That's our line that we lie on offensively, but they played well defensively. They stuck to the game plan. They didn't take chances unnecessary, and they got rewarded for it from pretty goals. And again, when you wear those teams down and keep coming, it just makes us look better.
And then regroup, come in tomorrow against the Nottingham Panthers. First Urquhart Conference team that you face, and obviously going to be a big challenge. What are your thoughts about the game tomorrow?
I haven't really done my homework yet on them. I'm more concerned how we play. We're going to go and play the exact same way. We're not going to change from road game to home game. We're going to be a team that's going to nail down our system, and we're coming to play hockey. You know you can't win every game, but we're going there, and we're going to play our best game, and we're going to go after them. And we'll see what happens tomorrow.
And one last thing, coming into this arena, 5,000 odd people are here, first home game, brilliant crowd tonight, and really getting behind the guys.
It was awesome to see. I didn't know what to expect. I was pretty nervous. I woke up a couple of times, my pregame nap, in the morning early. I'm really grateful for the turnout. Hopefully they'll keep coming all year, because we are going to have a hell of a product on the ice all year.
Thanks, Coach. Good win.
Thank you very much.
Interesting there, Davey. One of the points that Walser picks up was the fact that he says that Dean Smith is going to referee 10 out of our next 12 games. Not good, eh?
Listen, the refs, they're part of the furniture. You need them for the game. And there's an argument to say if you keep getting the same referee, players learn tendencies. They'll learn what they can get away with. So there's two ways to look at it. You know, they can get less penalised, or sometimes they get more penalised. There was a lot of phantom calls on Saturday night, on Sunday night. You know yourself, very, very difficult. You take a trip and call in overtime. Okay, if it had been Jeff Mason getting tripped in the manner that it happened, I would have been looking at the penalty myself. But sometimes, you know, put the whistle in your pocket kind of thing.
I have to say, Davey, sorry to interrupt you. I don't know, there was a non-call just before the Mason one, which, while not as blatant, was as much of a penalty as well. And I think that's maybe what we find most frustrating is, you know, the lack of consistency there.
Yeah. You know, we've gone back from the four-man system last season, which had its, you know, had its critics. Some nights it was good, some nights it wasn't. I just don't know. But I'd like to know the rationale behind, is it a money-saving thing? You know, just...
Do we have the personnel? Do we have the referees to do it? Like, week in, week out at every rink? And well, at a consistent high level.
Well, there's referees at all the other games, I assume, on the weekend. So, you know, why not shuffle the pack a wee bit? But, like, we've got Dino here for the next 10 out of 12 games or something. We had him Saturday, we had him Sunday. Players learn about linesmen, they learn about refs. So let's just hope that we learn, because we have had a revolving door into the penalty box at the minute. And that's something that is holding us back. When we're even in strength, we're a very, very good team. I've seen already... you've talked about Fournier and Higgins there, and they're going, it's almost a drawing board play. They're going again and again. They keep going to the well, and they've been getting goals from it. And you know that Walser has obviously came in here and put very strict systems, very set plays in, and the players are buying into it, and they're good. But look at the goal we scored on Sunday night. I mean, we'll come to it. I will not talk about it now. We'll stay on the subject. I feel like Neil Russell's back here again. We're just getting, I'm off on a tangent, but yeah, I don't know the reason behind it, but it is what it is, as a famous man once said.
Well, the highlights of that game are on Giants TV, and you can catch that on kingdomofthegiants.com. Moving on to Sunday night, the Belfast Giants had their first Urquhart Conference challenge of the season as they travelled to the NIC to face the Nottingham Panthers. And what ended up was an overtime 2-1 win. The Giants' goals came from that man, Chris Higgins, and the other man, Chris Beach. The Panthers' goal came from Jeff Waugh. Aaron, it was a tight game. You know, there was a goal at the start of the second and the response in the third, quite quiet in the first. Unfortunately, David Clark had a bit of a tangle with James Demarai, and it led to him leaving the game injured. But when the Giants go into the NIC, it's always going to be a bit of a battle, and it shows you how tight these two teams are.
It does, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't believe what you see when you watch the Panthers provided highlights. The game was a lot closer than they make it look. You know, as you said, it's always tight when you go in there. Sometimes it's maybe better getting into somewhere like the NIC early in the season when teams maybe haven't quite settled and you are maybe more likely to get a win. Now, that's not that I'm saying that we won't get a win. You know, we don't have a chance of winning at other stages in the season, but sometimes it's just a bit better at this stage of the year, and you can maybe nick one that you aren't getting if you're not firing on all cylinders. But I mean, the goals that we scored in this game again were two really good goals. Divi mentioned, you know, Higgins already really working hard for the first. The winning goal in overtime was a really nice play. You know, the forwards really worked together, and the finish from Chris Beach was fantastic from sort of not very far out and managing to get the puck right up into the roof of the net.
I think you're absolutely right. Like I say, the first goal from Higgy was he took two bites at Wiekman to put it in the net. But as Davey said earlier on, it shows that sort of determination of the guy now, and the fact that he will go after and he will put that much pressure on. And then a very nicely worked goal by the Panthers to equalise. But I have to say, I've watched that overtime goal quite a few times now, because from back to forward, it was so nicely worked. You had a backhand from Walser that went across ice that was picked up by Beach in the defensive zone. He skates up the left-hand side and draws in two players. He knows Demarai's behind him, and he draws in Schmidt and Mosey, and then gives a nice little backhand pass off the boards to Demarai, who's trailing him, and he knows he's there, and then floats onto the edge of the crease, leaving both Mosey and Schmidt just staring at Demarai, who was able just to skittle on the boards and put a pitch-perfect pass to Beach, who just put it in the back of the net. And Davey, that sort of coherence between the teams so early, I say I've watched it a few times now, because it's great to see that.
And it's done with speed, Paddy. It was one of the few things in the game that was done at high speed. Actually, watching the whole game back, it wasn't played at a frantic pace, and I wasn't overly impressed. I have to be honest. I know people are going to say, you hate them and all. I wasn't overly impressed with the Panthers, with their work ethic, with their intensity. I'm assuming I haven't seen the highlights. I've just watched the game tape. I haven't seen the highlights. I'm assuming the highlights, they just showed all the Panthers shots and like maybe the Giants goals. So it looked like it was just
pretty much
a one-sided effort.
Right, yeah.
but you know, at the end of the day, we limited, Panthers to, you know, what was it, 26, 27 shots in their own barn. And
that's brilliant.
We were good value for that win on Sunday night. I mean, no mistake about it. If you went back and showed the 20 odd shots that we had ourselves, you know, we were putting pressure constantly on the Panthers D. And to me, they played at a samey pace. They didn't have anybody that, losing David Clark, I don't know how big a thing that was and mixing their lines up a little bit, but it was well into the game when he went down. And to me, it just, early season for them, granted, but there wasn't really any standout players for them. Cam Janssen didn't come in and spark anything off. I was expecting a bit more. Robert Farmer, still that go-to guy who just gets on my wicket. You know, he goes every time Murphy covers the puck, and he's the kind of player I would love. You know, as soon as the other goalie covers the puck, he's in the crease, and he's just hacking and whacking on people and going, well, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, a lot of time he was just left to his own devices. The Panthers, for me, we were value for the extra point on Saturday night or on Sunday night. I'm just disappointed we didn't get it in regulation. Very, very good goal from them. They worked it very well. They moved us up by the moves. Like,
yeah.
We had a 4-on-3 to kill in overtime, which was fantastically killed. And I think
thought it was excellent. Nickerson was superb.
We spoke about Matt Nickerson had his stick in the passing lane constantly. He had his feet well positioned, so no pass ago, and he worked his socks off in that 4-on-3 kill massively, because they had possession for 50, 60 seconds of that, just passing, and couldn't get a shot away because of the likes of Loiter and Kiefer and Nickerson all putting their bodies in the line. Really, really impressive penalty kill that night.
I was
seven power plays to three. That tells you a little bit about the game as well. And there were silly little penalties that, you know, Kiefer got one for interference, and he got one on Saturday night for interference from Smith as well, that were just had him looking at Smith on the way to the penalty box going, are you serious? The one on Saturday night, if anything, was the other way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I can't. Anyway, we digress again. But yeah, good. I felt this isn't to just be Davey hates the Panthers. I felt it was a good performance from Belfast. Good road performance. Solid. I didn't think Nottingham were spectacular at all.
And on the Nickerson thing, like during the Saturday's game, I was chatting at one point to Steve Thornton saying I was surprised to see Nickerson on the penalty kill, because I think so early in the season, him coming in from Fife, he has a reputation that he has that he's obviously trying to change. And with performances like that, and with being put on the penalty kill unit by Walser, and actually stepping up the way that he has, that reputation will change.
It definitely will. I mean, he does a lot of really simple things just well. You know, Davey mentioned putting the stick in the passing lanes on the penalty kill and so on. I noticed on Saturday that, especially that, you know, when Murphy covered the puck and he was out there, he was there to protect Murphy. You know, which is something that's very important. You know, as we know, Murphy's a major part of our game plan, and having someone who's willing to just get in there and keep an eye on him could be a very important thing for the season. There's still, you know, he took a silly penalty. I think it was a cross-checking penalty on Saturday behind the play. You know, there's still the odd wee thing, but, you know, I think with someone of his reputation, he's not going to get away with things that other people might. So he maybe just needs to tighten up a wee bit on that as well. But no, definitely been impressed with what I've seen so far.
And then a bit of a nose to nose with Cam Jansen, but nothing really transpired from it. We have a question in from from Graham Smith in the Twitter question, said no real fireworks from the tough guys as yet. Will we see any? And why do fans think opposition tough guys are scared of their tough guy, Davey? At one point when you had the nose to nose with between the two of them, and then they both sort of skidded away, the NIC, you could hear them chanting chicken, chicken, chicken. It is that sort of, they want to see their tough guy beat on yours. But if Nickerson's playing that well, I don't blame him. I don't even think he was the guy to step away. I just think it was a nothing incident.
I think I'm turning into Craig Shilliday and Leafy. When I say that, I'm not, if it's required in the game, if it's sparked by an incident in the game, let's get it on. You know, I'm happy for that to happen. If Nickerson has to do the dirty work, and make no mistake about it, Matt Nickerson will not be found wanting whenever it comes to, if that is required. But if it's a case of we're playing a tight road game here, we're all playing well, the team performance here is more important than me getting, you know, 5 minutes or getting a tick in my fight card, then you stand pat and you take the 2 points, which is what we've done the other night. Jansen can come in and yap all he wants. He'll get an opportunity through the season, I'm sure, to get his bag knocked in.
At this moment in time, let's hear from the scorer of that game-winning overtime goal, Chris Beach.
Okay, ladies and gents, we're joined tonight by the man of the moment, scorer of the game-winning goal in the NIC on Sunday, Mr. Chris Beach. And mate, what a way to announce yourself to the Belfast fans.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's always a little more special to score an OT winner. I haven't had one of those for a while, so that was great fun and important extra point we grabbed there for the team. So it was good in all aspects.
Before we talk about Sunday, let's take a quick look back at Saturday and the home opener. 5,500 Jans fans shoehorned in, and the place was absolutely rocking. Were you expecting that kind of reception in Belfast?
I didn't know what to expect. I try to limit expectations in life and kind of just get pleasantly surprised. And I was pleasantly surprised when I skated out for warm up. It was electric in there. It was really cool. So I look forward to the next games. It was a really fantastic energy in there.
And the game itself, once we got a sort of tricky first period out of the game, it was a pretty dominant performance. Got your first point as a Giant, the sort of ridiculous no-look-back hand pass to Peacock. You must have enjoyed the moment. You must have enjoyed the game.
Yeah, it was Yeah, we had a little bit of a slow start, but with the depth and experience of our team, we kept our cool and kept pushing and improved as the game went on. And then, we just kept taking it to them and coming in waves. And if we maintain a consistent effort and a consistent focus on what we have to do each and every night to be in games and to put ourselves in a situation to win games, then I think we'll continue that kind of a wave with the depth that we have.
You're coming into a club here where there's probably a lot of unknown names to you, and one of your line mates, Craig Peacock. It must be nice to know you feed someone like Craig Peacock a puck. You know, 9 times out of 10, he's making the goalie work, or it's in the back of the net.
Yeah, he's got a knack for the net, definitely. So, that's a skill. It takes a lot of timing and a good brain to be in the right spot and to anticipate that way. I've been lucky to play with players like that through my career, and he's another one of them. So it's definitely a bonus for me coming here.
And then we move on to Sunday, a very difficult game in the NIC. It was a bit more of an attritional game of hockey, but we really put our foot in our throat in third period. And I think that we were definitely good value for the 2 points.
Yeah, it was a good test there. It was kind of a strange game. There was, penalties after penalty a little bit, and there wasn't much flow to the game from either team. But again, that's an attribute of a deep team, as we found a way to stay in the game. And of course, you can't deny the effort that Murph put in. He made some really key saves, and that's also, it's no surprise when you got a good team, you had a good goaltender, and he was there for us. And we got that extra point, which was huge. It was great.
And then I saw today on your way home, and a few times over the last weeks, you've been posting on your social media about your meditation. Is this something that you've always been into, or is it a niche thing? Is it something you get a lot of benefit out of?
It's something that I started 5 years ago, and I've been doing every day since. So it's been around for a while. Yeah, you definitely get a lot of benefit from it. Everyone gets benefit from it. They just have to do it. I actually became certified to teach it over this past year, and it's been a huge benefit in my latter part of my career, and also ingrained into my life away from the sport. It's definitely a deep passion of mine, the practice of meditation.
And what are you making of the rest of the team so far? There's been some highlight reel players only this weekend. The likes of your teammate Chris Higgins there has made the hockey news. The club is making, news in North America today for some of the real talented plays over the weekend.
It's some incredible plays by Higgy there. And the buzz and the energy of the crowd and the excitement for the game and the city is actually, it's something I didn't honestly expect. It's really a pleasant surprise, and it's great to see the game of hockey expanding, because it is a great game, and of course I'm biased, but I think it's the best sport on earth. So it's great as a long time pro hockey player to see it expanding like that into other countries and areas of the world.
Of course, then it'll be back to Parage, back to practice in the morning. Practice start for prepping for Edinburgh. We've had a look at them already. Or what are you expecting this weekend from them?
Yeah, they're gonna get 2 games at home, so they're obviously gonna want to come in and put in a good effort, and that's the same attitude that we have. It doesn't matter who we play. We have to keep our focus consistent, keep our mindset consistent, and that'll lead to consistent actions. And if we're focused on what we have to do, as a team and as individuals to win hockey games, focus on the small details and do the right things in the right situations. It doesn't matter who we're playing against, that'll give us a good opportunity to win a hockey game. And being consistent is the key to winning a lot of games. So that's what we hope to do this weekend.
And then away from the rink, you've been in Belfast a few weeks now. Are you getting to know where to wine and dine and where to unwind the Crisp Beach way?
I haven't been whining and dining too much. I've been hitting up Frankie Benny's a few times, that's for sure. But other than that, no, I haven't been whining and dining too much. But I've checked out. I love just being in the city and being around people down there, and the energy down there is great. So it's fun to go down there and check things out, and been to a couple of the natural sites. I love nature and natural beauty, so I've been checking out some of what Northern Ireland has to offer, and that's been amazing as well. And look forward to some other adventures off the ice. So it's been wonderful.
Well, BT, thank you very much for your time tonight, and all the very, very best for the weekend coming.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Chris. The highlights of the game from Panthers TV are available on kingdomofthegiants.com. One other thing I will say, I said to Davey I would bring this up, is the fact that on the night, the two assists for Beach were incorrect and called incorrect. It was actually a pass from Demarai and not from, was it down as Craig Peacock?
Peacock and Forney were the assists on the game sheet, but that's since been rectified. Look, I don't know how it works on the ice, whether players say it was me from him and him, or whether in that instance, because it was the end of the game and everybody's piled onto the ice, they've had a guess. is about the highlight, because let's be honest, Forney and Peacock, who got the assist, were sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's difficult to say. They maybe got the 79 and the 71 mixed up. I'll give them a Bible there, but
43 and a 43 14.
They've just made a mistake on the game sheet. It's been rectified. But here, before we move on,
yes,
Stephen Murphy, his performance, both performances over the weekend. Stephen Murphy's now played four elite league games and has only conceded three even strength goals. He was hung out a wee bit in Dundee, penalty shot, a one-on-none, a couple of power play goals in Edinburgh, a couple of power play goals on. You can't really blame your goalie on power play goals, especially the likes of Manchester, the way they moved us about. And the goal from Nottingham at the weekend was a very, very well worked goal. You know, Stephen Murphy has started this season very, very well. And for all the detractors and all the stick he's had about, will he do it, will he not? You know, he's proven very, very successfully over the first two weekends of the season. He's looking fit, he's looking sharp, he's moving east to west a lot better than I've seen him move for many, many seasons, to be fair. So, you know, watch the highlights, watch the games back if you can, people. Make your own judgments on him. Don't join the bandwagon of hitters, please.
Stephen Murphy walked into McCool's and everybody was patting him on the back, shaking his hand, congratulating him. What wasn't, as you say, an excellent performance. The only person not really to do that was Claire Freeman from The Forecast, the Manchester Storm podcast, who actually turned around to him and heard everybody calling him Murph and went, wow, are you Aaron Murphy? to which Stephen Murphy went, no. Sorry, Claire, had to tell that story. guys, let's move ahead. Let's have a look around the league. First of all, there's nothing to report from the Department of Player Safety. And the reason I bring that up first is because they've actually put out a tweet saying there's nothing to report or nothing apart to coming forward this week, which is the right thing to do, David.
Vote, David. I had it in my diatribe back when we had the debate. Perfect. That, you know, that puts away anyone's, are we waiting, are DOPS going to come out on Tuesday or Wednesday? They're going to say anything about this incident on Saturday or Sunday, or we're still waiting on DOPS? How long did that tweet take Seth Bennett or whoever to write? You know, 2 minutes. Brilliant. It's exactly what you need from the Department of Player Safety. Very well done. Good Aaron. Addition. Thank you.
Aaron?
Yeah, it's great. And I love it. It reminds me of, that famous line, nothing important happened today.
What was that?
I think it was the start of the Second World War, wasn't it?
Is it from Family Guy when they say there seems to be a gap in this guidebook between 1939 and 1945? Nothing happened? In the German. Anyway, cut that bit out. That was no crack whatsoever. The looking around the games on the weekend, Paul Thompson's return to the Sky Dome was a happy one. The Steelers shut out the Blaze 4-0, and then they returned to the Motorpoint Arena the following night and destroyed the Cardiff Devils 8-2 on the night. It was actually the night they also raised their championship banner for the last season's league win. Both these games Challenge Cup, but Aaron, the Steelers obviously showing no ill effects from the losses in the Champions Hockey League, coming in with a bit of a, you know, obviously hitting the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this in at length, and I think the CHL, I mean, obviously it's been tough for them and they've had a few losses, but you know, the chance to get their side together and playing and working on their systems in a really tough environment, I think, is probably paid off, and they've hit the ground running in the Challenge Cup. They haven't played a league game yet. And yeah, you know, I think we'll see how it pays off, but it certainly seems to be paying off for them so far.
Cardiff actually came into Sheffield on a bit of a high in that Challenge Cup, having beat the Nottingham Panthers 2-1 in overtime. The ice still wasn't great. The game was 0-0 right into the third period before two goals within 15 seconds of each other, and then Guillaume Doucette sank his former team 40 seconds into overtime. Davey, We've talked about the Nottingham Panthers and about that small rink and showing against the Panthers exactly what they can do.
They didn't have, Paddy, and you know, Doucette scoring the goal was very important for them. They tried to get Doucette in at the start of the year. They brought Tatanen in instead. Didn't work out. And as soon as the season was over, he was, you know, gone from Nottingham into Cardiff. Contract under his nose. Let's get him signed. And he's got speed. And on a small rink, you need that. You need speed. You need size. And they've started well. You know, Doucette had that. Martin Kirka, they're all going to score a lot of goals. I think it was Sizz, maybe watched one of their games. You know, they've got three legit forward lines, or first lines, if you like, rather than, you know, first, second, third line, or even like,
just ABC. They have,
yeah, they have legit scoring from nine forwards at the minute, and they're good in D. You know, the likes of Hoffman and Hendricks, Marsh, these are all big guys who have been here, done it before. Cardiff are going to be a force to be reckoned with. Don't know what's the story with our rink at the minute. Are they going to be in for the new year? Is it going to be all this season?
This is the question I was going to ask. If you're, I've said to both of you, but if you're Todd Kelman, Aaron, would you be thinking to yourself, actually, just let's not move into the new rink until the start of next season?
I think Kelman has had enough of moving this year. Going by
it's location, location, location.
It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, they've some huge advantages playing in the rink that they've been playing in for the last lot of years, you know, and they've built their team around that. I wonder how much they've sort of built parts of the team this year around moving into, you know, onto the bigger ice surface once they were meant to get in after the new year. I think it's important. I think if they can get in, they should get in personally. There's just too many advantages to it in various other ways. You know, it'll start them maybe growing their crowds, especially if they're on a good run. I think it'll just be a more comfortable place for them to play. It's a tough one, but I think personally, if it was me, I would get in as soon as I could.
Davey, I think this is something that people are going to be talking about right up until it happens, isn't it? It's the fact that because they play so well on the small ice, will they adapt? Will they adapt? Even like I had a chat on text with a good friend, Gareth Hewish, who does the commentary for the new ice time coverage of the Cardiff Devils, and he was saying the same thing. He could see games or points being dropped in the back end of the season because of the team having to adapt to a larger ice surface.
You know, I've made the joke many times about Cardiff, like they travel like the Italian army. You know, they're not very good away from home. And generally, when they're away from home, they're playing on 200 by 100 foot ice pads. It's generally the rest of the league, maybe Aldrinham now and the Blaze. But apart from that, everybody else is on the big ice pads. It's something they're going to have to adapt to because they are built. They are built for their, you know, it's 15 or 20 feet narrower. It's 20 feet shorter or something. You know, it's just so much more compact, and they are built for that, and they can work their systems to that. They have going to have an awful lot more room to work with whenever they move. It's only 200 yards down the road for anyone that hasn't been. It's going to be difficult for them, Paddy. I've got to be honest. I think the transition, especially if it's a mid-season transition, will be difficult. It's that, you know, there are so many good things about getting into the new arena with revenue and stuff, bigger crowds, you know, all the different things that come with having a nice, shiny new building. But can you do it mid-season? You know, going from that safety blanket of the blue tent going into a nice shiny new, and all the pressure that'll bring as well. So I don't know. I would be like Aaron. I would say if you've got the keys tomorrow, they'll be wanting to move their skates into their new locker room. But remain to be seen. You know, building trades a funny old game. Who knows when it'll be ready.
The only team I can think of who had to move from temporary accommodation into a big arena mid-season were our own Belfast Giants.
Yeah, and it actually was a fillip for us coming. You know, we weren't going that brilliantly on the road, playing home games on the road, if you like. But, you know, we came in and then we settled the following season. Obviously, you know, the history's there for everyone to see. The following couple of seasons, actually, you know, we won the Super League, we missed out by a point, won the playoffs. You know, with the history's there of coming to the big, shiny new arena and what it gives. But we were a team already built, playing four-line hockey, playing all North American imports used to play in. Well, I suppose at the time they'd have been used to play on a slightly smaller ice pad, so don't know. Yeah. Good argument, all the same.
North of Hadrian's Wall, the Clan dominated their Challenge Cup game over Fife in Kirkcaldy, winning 5-1. Interesting in this one, Davey, I'll go with you. This one is that to see Barry McKenzie and Jordan Kearney link up for the first two goals. The Clan obviously showing their depth of scoring from the British Corps.
Yeah, Barry McKenzie scoring two. I think he scored two goals in 8 seconds or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Scored two more goals in 8 seconds than he did in 15 games for the Giants. Pretty impressive. But yeah, it does show. We talked about Jordan Kearney. I think he had a two-way with Nottingham previously, did he?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, he's played down south of Hadrian's Wall. And, you know, good to see for the Clan that they've got a bit of depth there. I think they will take all the beating. I think Dundee will push them, but I think Clan will take that Gardner title.
Clan went on the next night to defeat the Caps in the Cup, and the Caps themselves took their first points off Dundee and Murrayfield. Shows you a bit of a swing going on in that Gardner Conference, or at least the Cup groups. Dundee then travelled to Altrincham for a league matchup with the Storm, and despite a spirited first period performance from the Storm, the Stars took hold, and Doug Clarkson, who was the Elite League Player of the Week this week, was key in them running a very convincing 7-2 winners live on Premier Sports. And Aaron, it's just getting tougher and tougher for the Storm. And again, it just shows that, you know, they come out in those first periods pretty hard, but the depth's going to hurt them at this moment in time.
I think it is, but I mean, I think the Storm's goal will be that 8th place in the league. And, you know, from what I've seen of them so far, they've every chance of getting that. They're by far the best sort of expansion team we've seen, really, I think, in the Elite League. You know, we talked about this pre-season. You know, they looked at the likes of the Racers, who I think took until about, I don't know, it was February before they won a game and managed to win two all season, and other teams that have come into the league, sort of, you know, even Fife themselves a few years back, maybe won 7 or 8 games. I genuinely think the Storm will be there or thereabouts, you know, and will have a say, you know, how other teams do as well and who gets that 8th spot.
As I say, most of those games this weekend were Challenge Cup games, so rather than look at the league standings, which are embryonic at this stage, the Challenge Cup groups. Group A, involving the Belfast Giants, Brayhead lead the way, 2 games played, 4 points. Edinburgh second with 3 games played and 2 points. Belfast, 2 games played and 2. Dundee, 2 games played and 2 points. Fife, 1 game played and 0. While in Group B, Cardiff lead the way, 4 games played, 6 points. Sheffield with 3 played and 4. Nottingham 1 played, 1 point. And Coventry and Manchester, you had to get off the mark with playing a game each. I was considering the Challenge Cup, and we always at some point have some sort of a discussion. No doubt it'll come up time and time again, but about the futility of it and how it's being run. But I will point out, I was thinking to myself about the Challenge Cup final, and obviously last year we're having a showpiece final in Sheffield's arena, and nothing else is going to be played that day. That sort of changed. There were games that day. They still had the showpiece final in Sheffield Arena. They're doing the same this year, with the 6th of March being the date of the Challenge Cup final once again in Sheffield. However, on that day, the fixture list already dictates that the Flyers are playing the Storm, the Blues are playing the Caps, and the Clan are playing the Stars. So either those teams are being considered low risk in reaching the final, or they've readily accepted the possibility of a fixture change, which is surprising because most notably, the Brayhead Clan play in an arena. Davey.
Again.
Yes.
how to articulate again my
Why are there games that day?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I would imagine that the dream that if Fife don't get to, you know, Fife and Manchester don't reach the Challenge Cup final, that their fans are going to go en masse or even in small numbers to Sheffield is fanciful. You know, the final will be vastly majority dominated by the two teams' fans that get there. So, as you say, they must be feeling low risk that those teams will get the clan,
Yeah, that's the one. I, with all due respect to the Flyers of Storm, the Blaze, the Caps and the Stars, the clan are probably more than likely going to be one of the contenders come the semi-finals, maybe even the Blaze as well. And to be fair, any one of those six teams could make it.
It's a one, you know, it's knockout hockey once you get out of the group, and it's I don't know why they do this, the Challenge Cup, to devalue. It's interesting that Sheffield and Cardiff are using it early season. They got even better fixtures. You know, we talked about getting the weekend Challenge Cup fixtures to give us just that wee break in. Sheffield had their CHL, and then they've gone and had two weekends of Challenge Cup hockey. You know, the three games under their belt now, all in the Challenge Cup. So they'll be ready to hit the Elite League run soon. Playing a wee bit of catch up already, as we said earlier. But, you know, I don't know why they do this, the Challenge Cup. For me, the Challenge Cup should be done, dead and buried before Christmas. Showpiece final in December, whatever, early December, or even earlier. Get it out of the way. Don't start the Elite League then. Just make the first lot of fixtures the Challenge Cup. Yeah. Get it done. Make it the early season. They used to have the Autumn Cup or whatever they called it, the B&H, all those things that ran early season. To let teams get their little teething problems out of the way. Bang, we'll hit the league with a better quality league. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for the casual fan, I think it's got to be a bit confusing. You know, you're going to a game, for example, this weekend in Belfast, and we'll talk about this later, but, you know, you have a Challenge Cup game, I think, on Friday, and then a league game against the same team on Saturday. For a casual fan, you know, that might be a bit confusing. And even for, I mean, I don't know if anyone noticed or picked up, but even for the not-so-casual fan, I mean, Premier Sports put up a league table in their TV coverage this week, which included Challenge Cup results in their league table. You know, so if people that are sort of high up in the sport are a bit confused by the format, then maybe they need to look and try and get it all played and get it all Challenge Cup games at the start of the year.
Can I ask a supplementary to Aaron on that then? Do you remember we used to have the games that doubled up as Challenge Cup and Elite League?
Only too well, yeah.
Right, so we've obviously done away with that then if we're going to have a double-headed fixture against Edinburgh on Saturday night. So one's the Challenge Cup, you say, one's the league. Is there an argument that just to play a doubled up game? Or is it a revenue gatherer now?
Well, I mean, I think it's from the point of view of the prestige, or for want of a better word, of the Challenge Cup, I think separating the games out gives the Challenge Cup a little bit more credence. I think it really devalues a cup if it's just tacked on to a league game. Although we've seen it before, you know, where we've even played, I think, was it Hull a couple of years ago? We played in a quarter final.
One leg.
Which was also doubled up as a league game.
Yeah.
So you sort of think to yourself, what happens here? If it finishes 1-1 at the end of normal time, but then you have a penalty shootout, you know, what on earth's happening? So, you know, I don't like doubling up, and I think putting them as separate is definitely a step in the right direction.
Is there any games that have been doubled up, or is that done away with now?
I think it's been done away with. I thought about this myself earlier, and I had a look through the fixture list, especially most only for the Belfast Giants. It definitely is done away with. I'm not sure about the rest of the league, but throw my own hat into the ring here. I think that the Challenge Cup, and it is a topic that will come back again and again and again. But until they sort it out, like you say, Davey, it's a nonsense. It's one of the hardest trophies to win, yet they mess it about all the time. And it's ridiculous the way they do it. And I think it's our good friend Mark Hitchcock came up with a format maybe last season before, just following that thing that you said. Let's have it like the first month of the season, nothing but Challenge Cup games. And then that leads to a quarter final in October, semi final in November, and then a final in December. How is that difficult? It's not difficult. So why can't the powers that be, and we spoke about the trying to get an autonomous board with independence and making the right decisions in the Elite League. Why can't these people that are there see that? I have no idea. Because, and what is preventing us just doing that with the fixture list? there must be a reason behind it that we can't fathom. Especially when they say, you know, it's hard to get crowds in you know, September and whatever. Obviously, the Giants didn't have that at the weekend there, but the Challenge Cup is, there you go. There's your warm up tournament. Let's bring all these teams up to speed where they can hit the league challenge at full pelt come October. And why is it difficult? And then you've got this ridiculous situation where you've already got three games scheduled on the day of the cup final. I don't see it ever being resolved, and it's a real shame, a real shame. Anyway, coming up, we'll be chatting with Brandon Benedict, discussing what you want on the agenda and looking ahead to this weekend against the Edinburgh Capitals. We also have a big announcement to make regarding the NCAA tournament in November. But first,
hi, Simon Kitchen here. For his field attempt defending the skills of Chris Higgins, I'm delighted to award Omar Pasha this week's Taxi Award, sponsored by Phonacab. And for his efforts, we will be sending Omar a £10 Phonacab taxi voucher. So the next time he's in Belfast, he can call Taxi for Pasha.
Taxi! Taxi!
Taxi!
Twitter questions. Let's see. You set the agenda. Actually, there's quite a few here regarding Benedict and Raja and the situation that we have there. I'm not actually going to ask that question because we're about to hear from Brandon Benedict in a few minutes, and he addresses that himself. What I will ask, and I'll start with yourself, Aaron, is on just the one question mainly. It's asked by a few people. I'll take the one from Lee Clements at LeeroyC_88. After Chris Higgins, 2 world-class assists, do you think there's any chance he'll be asked to play elsewhere, like back home?
It's always a worry. We've seen it before when guys have, what was the guy called? Brock McBride
going to Switzerland?
Brock McBride, yeah, you know, who came in.
Best number 12 we ever had.
Yeah, apart from Doug. Came in and dominated and was, as you say, was taken away to taken on to Switzerland. Sean Behrens came back for a second season and disappeared. You know, it's always a fear for any player that comes in. I guess, you know, Chris Higgins has come here for a reason. It's his third year in the league. Hopefully he likes it here, and that's why he's come back. So I hope not. But, you know, it's always something that we've got to worry about.
That's you say you bring up Sean Behrens, Davey. That when Sean Behrens was taken away from us that season, I think it was the season that Rob Stewart was coaching us, and he brought in the fisherman Mark Finney, and that sort of really hurt our season. What do you think about Higgy? The fact that he's getting so much exposure regards to North America and probably across Europe as well with the skills and that. Is there a worry?
It's attention that's well deserved for his play. However, you know, we've got a contract here with him. I'm not sure exactly what age Higgy is or whether his ambition is to go in the better leagues in Europe, to go back to the AHL. I don't think he'll go back for an East Coast job or, you know, an OHL job. He'll be looking, if he's going back, he will be looking for an AHL job with the chance of getting that game in the show. Do his skills dictate it? Has he got, you know, he's improving his physique to get there. Can we just be the stepping stone? Can we get one season? See if we get a season like, you know, of weekly performances like we've been getting so far out of him. You'd wish him all the best and say cheerio. I don't want him to jump on a plane, you know, next Friday and say sayonara, I'm way back to North America here. There's a chance your best players get poached. That's just something you have to accept at this level where we are in the pool of hockey. That's just where we are. We are a league, a developmental league, if you like, for players. We bring players here on the proviso. We'll get you in the shop window and we'll get you a better job in the future. Or we have players coming in and doing MBAs and stuff and rounding out their careers here, the likes of Alfie and stuff. Sandy, you know, so it's a difficult one. I hope he stays and I hope we get the Chris Higgins that started the season for us. But, you know, if he goes and he goes to somewhere better, I suppose you can only pat him on the back and wish him all the best. And if it doesn't work out, the door's open.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much to everybody who've sent in their Twitter questions. We asked a few of them earlier on and there'll be more coming in. We will address the one with regards to Benedict and Raja in a moment's time and get in touch with us at AVFTB and you can set the agenda for next week's show. Speaking of Chris Higgins, a man who came back to the Belfast Giants from the Nottingham Panthers, there was one other gentleman who did that very same thing, and that was Brandon Benedict. And earlier on, I got a chance to catch up with the returning Belfast Giant and asked him that after 4 years with the Nottingham Panthers, what encouraged him to return to Belfast?
Yeah, there's just a few different factors that came into play. Steve Thornton offered me a position in the office, more or less, to have like a different role. And my wife's from Cookstown, actually, so about an hour from Belfast, so she was excited at the opportunity to come back. So there's a bunch of different reasons, and it just all came together nicely to come back. So,
as you spent two seasons before with the Belfast Giants, you won a playoff championship under Steve Thornton in 2010, and you had an injury hit season there the year after, which led to your move to the Panthers. But by all accounts, the Giants weren't able to make you a fair offer. Now, that's something that Todd Kellerman described subsequently as one of the biggest mistakes he made as a general manager. How did you feel about that move from Belfast to Nottingham?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the business of it sometimes. Sometimes, for whatever reasons, you can't come to an agreement, on a contract. And that's kind of what basically happened at the time when I moved from Belfast to Nottingham. That's part of sport, and that's just the way it goes. But like I said, I'm very happy to be back now and settle in nicely.
Well, that time in Nottingham was nothing but success for you. You know, three Challenge Cups, two playoff titles, an Earhart Conference title, and Nottingham's first league title in over 50 years. I think it's a silly question just to say, you know, you must look back there with fondness.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Nottingham a lot. I mean, it's a very professional organization. They have a lot of, the British core is good, very good, great guys. I created a lot of good friendships there in the last 4 years. I enjoyed it. It's time to move on, and things happen in sport, and that you adjust. And like I said, this opportunity, you got to kind of grow your career. And I think this is an opportunity where it allows me to kind of grow off the ice as well on. So that was basically the reason he went to.
What was the key to the success back then? Was it that British core that you mentioned there, or was it just a good chemistry of guys?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of everything. I think in this league, to be successful, you need to have that British core, because of, there's just many different reasons, but, one would be just, having injuries. I mean, if you have injuries and it's hard to replace the imports, you need that core British to be successful. So I think in Nottingham, they have that. I think in Belfast, they certainly have that as well. So, I think that's a huge part and will be a huge component for our success this year is the British component.
Well, this is your seventh season in the Elite League, and a lot of people are saying that this year the league's got as strong as it ever as it's ever been. Do you agree with that? Do you think that when you look around the league, it's as good as it's ever been?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that for sure. But I haven't seen every team, but on paper, I think that that's definitely the case. I mean, you got Cardiff, Coventry, Brayhead, Sheffield, Nottingham, and ourselves. I think that's probably the six that we're probably going to compete. We saw Fife, we saw Edinburgh, we saw Dundee, and we saw Manchester. Every single game that we played was tough against Dundee. Yeah. Well, they beat us 3-0. Edinburgh wasn't an easy game. Manchester, they're going to be tough in their building. They're leading pretty much halfway through last weekend. So, it's every single game is going to be a battle. That's quite evident in the league. The league so far, so it's going to be a very, very tough league. So it's good for the fans. I think parity is great for the league, great for the fans.
You mentioned there earlier on about Steve Thornton saying about what he's going to do when he brought you over, and it was announced that your role within the Belfast Giants organization was to be an assistant coach to Derek Walser. But with the late arrival of Mike Raja, you've had to put the skates on earlier than expected. Now, you were man of the match pre-season in Fife, and you've had 2 points from 4 games thus far. Are you happy in the shirt? Are you competing for a place, or is your role pretty clear?
I think my role is pretty clear. I think I'm there, as an injury cover. I think when the Raja situation, he just came over a little bit too late, and we didn't want to really put him, or Walser didn't want to put him in this early because of, you're more prone to injury, I guess. So we had the luxury of me playing. If I wasn't there, I'm sure Rajasthan would have played, but since we had me there and healthy and was there for like say 2 or 3 weeks training, I wasn't, so that was the situation with Rajasthan. I think Rajasthan will play this weekend. He looks very good in practice. He's a great shot. I think he'll only benefit our offense. So I'm very comfortable in my position as a guy, and just willing to play whenever called upon.
Let's have a quick look back at the weekend past there, Brandon. The return to the SSE Arena, as it's called now, a fantastic opening night and a great win for the Giants.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, I know people are talking about it, with upwards to 5,500 fans on opening night. It's great. It's great for the organization, great for the city. So hopefully we can just build on that and keep on, making the attendances, grow more and more. As for on the ice, yeah, it was a rough start. I think, we came out maybe a little bit nerves and stuff. Manchester played well. They were up 2-1 and then finally we broke open a little bit and, scored an opportunity. So that was that was the key, just staying with it. I think a lot of teams too, they don't necessarily have the depth sometimes. So if you can just stick with it for 60 minutes, eventually you'll start taking over the game, not necessarily in the first and second, but in the third period, you'll start taking over.
And of course, Chris Higgins getting a lot of plaudits for his role in that game. You were on the end of one of those passes. What's your take on it?
Yeah, no, it's funny. We were talking about it a bit today, and I saw it all over the internet again tonight. So it's getting some hits. It was two unbelievable passes. I was saying to Higgy this morning at practice, I didn't realize how nice the second one was. Obviously, the first one, I was right there. I knew exactly what he did. And
yeah.
Before he gave it to me, I was anticipating him giving it to me because he has unbelievable vision and unbelievable skill. The second one was phenomenal as well. I mean, the initial play to get it across his body and then back over it was quite the. Both plays were very, very impressive.
Do you have to think about that? Well, you see the puck coming off the boards, you see it coming to Higgins. Now, are you expecting it to come to you like that, or are you just having to react?
No. Yeah, from my standpoint, I was expecting Higgy to come over. He knew that. He knew I was there, I think, before he even made the play. Well, it's obvious. I mean, he put it between his legs and literally right on my tape. I didn't have to move my blades. So it was easy for me to just tap in, basically, and do that. The goalie wasn't even, I don't know where the goalie was thinking either, because the goalie, I'm not even sure where he was looking. But I mean, it was tough for the goalie as well. He wasn't probably thinking Higgy was going to be able to make that play, right? So he's probably still looking behind the net, looking where the puck is, and it's on my stick. So, great play by Higgy.
And I suppose the next night, both you, Johnny Boxall, and Higgy go into the NIC as former players, and taking that overtime win, how sweet was that?
Yeah, no, it was good. It's always good to go back there and get the win. It wasn't an easy game. I think Nottingham played well. They're going to be very tough to beat. To go in there and get 2 points was very good for us, obviously. I think the first half, I think we played good. I think we might have had the edge. And then I think in the third, they certainly had the edge. We kind of slowed up a bit. We didn't have our legs weren't the greatest, and they capitalized, on actually a very nice goal. And then, but fortunately, we were able to score in overtime. They had a power play in overtime. And Murph made some big saves. Garcia had a big shot block. The guys did an unbelievable job in the PK for us. And then we came back and Desi made a beautiful play to Beecher for the OT winner. So it was all in all, yeah, obviously, I mean, getting 4 points out of the two is a great weekend for us.
What I will ask is, having moved on from Nottingham, have you seen checking it out with the GMB from the Panthers office? And do you regret missing out on YouTube Gold?
The check-in note I watched very briefly in the office, actually. So I didn't really watch it. I don't watch it every episode or like that. I watched it for about 30 seconds, and that was it. Yeah, they always have something new going on there, so it's all good there in Nottingham.
This weekend, the Edinburgh Capitals fly over to Belfast for league and cup competition. Now, their form's pretty erratic. What are you guys expecting from the weekend?
Yeah, it'll be tough. It'll be another tough weekend. There's no question. Like I was saying earlier, there's not going to be an easy game this year. We face them there, so we know what they got. They got some offensive guys that are very explosive, very offensive, offensively gifted, minded. So it's going to be, we got to make sure we take care of our own end. We got to make sure we're responsible and on both sides of the puck. And then, like I said, just kind of wear them down. Hopefully we can start taking over the game. Whether it's in the second turn or the third, at the end of the day, it's just about winning the game and not necessarily trying to win it in the first, but just, win it. It takes in the third, late in the third, whenever it is, that's the most important thing. So I think that's the key, just staying with the game plan, making sure we're playing good defense and the offense will come.
Fantastic. Well, listen, it's really good to have you back in Belfast Giants colours, Brandon, and we wish you well for the rest of the season.
Great. Thank you very much.
And thanks to Benny. We'll chat about some of the comments he made there in a second. in doing so, we'll talk about the Edinburgh Capitals, who visit Belfast this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. Friday night, as Aaron said earlier, is a Challenge Cup game, with Saturday being an Elite League non-conference game. The Caps themselves have only won one out of their opening four fixtures. That was the Dundee win last weekend. And Davey, Riley Armisen told us last week that they weren't here to make up the numbers. Do you see that they've got a bit of an erratic form at the moment, and you'd like to think that the Giants would be too strong for them?
I think we've got a lot more depth, just a bit more quality than them, to be honest. They did, and they did well against Dundee because they had to come back as well. I think Dundee were a few goals in the lead, and you know, they've roared back in the third period, scored three unanswered goals in the third period to take the points in the Challenge Cup. They're no mugs. They've got a lot of size on their side. We've seen that they were dangerous on the power play when we played them in Murrayfield a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks last week. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be no mugs. Riley Armisen, as you said, has been on the podcast over the last few weeks saying, you know, that they're not here to make up the numbers, and they've come with a good attitude. Chewback's done well in some of the games. He's had a few blowouts as well. So it's just about getting the puck to him, getting it past him, settling ourselves down. I think it was Chris Beach interview earlier there. He said, you know, we don't really need to worry about other teams. If we play our systems, if we play hard, if we are honest, you know, come out and play the Belfast Giants brand of hockey, stick with Walser's system. Okay, we don't need to worry about what other teams do.
Aaron, one of the things that Brant Benedict brought up earlier on, and it's been a discussion of a number of the Twitter questions we received, is the fact that with Mike Raja having finally arrived, he was a healthy scratch at the weekend to bring him up to speed. Benedict says that he's been looking really good in training, and that his own role is clear, that he steps back now and Raja steps in. Now, last week we spoke about this sort of thing, and you said about, you know, the player in the shirt not wanting to give up the shirt. It's obvious that Benedict knows what his role is, as he said so himself. And is it right or wrong decision?
Well, I'm glad it's not me making the decision.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Raja, I have to say. But equally, I think we'll miss Benedict. I mean, he adds something actually a little bit different. He's maybe to the team. Well, maybe not different. I mean, we've other guys, you know, who are pests as well, but he just never stops, Benedict. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Raja, and maybe a Challenge Cup game against Edinburgh is the perfect chance to get Raja back in and let him see, you know, show what he can do. If it turns out that he's maybe not quite settled just as yet, then with the option for the league game on Saturday night as well.
Davey, it's a nice situation to have.
It is. I think Aaron said last week, you know, in his opinion, you stick with the hot hand, and there's something to be said about that, because Benny has been playing very well over the last couple of weekends. But, you know, the rule was sort of clear when he came in. He was back off his staff, doing a great job there, and to help out the team if there was an injury situation or whatever. Mike Rajas came in here to score goals. It's not a bad weekend to get him inducted in here when you've got two home games against Edinburgh with, you know, I know that sounds awful disrespectful and all, but if you wanted to drop somebody in who hasn't played a game for the club yet and wants to find his feet, two home games especially in front of, you know, friendly crowds against weaker opposition, let's be honest, this is the weekend to do it. So, you know, if Benny isn't too disappointed with that, if it's not going to deflate his tires, if he needs to come back in again, then, you know, if that's the situation, I'm happy to see Raja in another number 22. Happy to see another good number 22 in the squad.
Also coming back into Belfast for the first time is Carson Chewback, Aaron. Bound to get a good reception, quite a popular player when he was here. But obviously maybe a player out to make a point.
Yeah, well, I mean, he became a bit of a cult hero, and I think that was as much just due to his name as anything last year. You know, he put in some performances last year where he was very impressive. Things maybe didn't go right for him and the team as the season went on, and, you know, it was a bit disappointing. The team have decided to go back to Stephen Murphy. I'm sure Chewback would have loved to have stayed. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if he can prove the point. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him steal a game or two, not just, you know, throughout the season, but possibly against us this year.
Well, the game, as I say, on Friday and Saturday night is at 7 p.m. Get your tickets from the SSE Arena. And if you can't get down there, the webcast is available on Giants TV. Join Sis and Johnny. You got to see that with Johnny stepping in now. Davey, how did it go?
Johnny's a very, very good analyst. You know, he's played hockey at a very high level. He's played, you know, hundreds of games with Belfast Giants. His shirt hangs in the at the bridge end there. You know, he's very concise. He's very quietly spoken, Johnny. So it's one of those. I think it was maybe either Kenny Dalglish might have said it. You know, he's another very quietly spoken man, because when you speak quietly, people have to really listen to what you're saying and get your point across very well. Him and Sizz bounced off each other very well. You know, obviously Coach moving on to the GM job at Manchester freed up that space on the webcast. Very good. Look, the production from Belfast is slick. It always has been. Dave Lowry, Neil Noll doing an unbelievable job there for the club. It's something that's brilliant for the likes of you and me when we can't get to the Odyssey all the time, that we have got that option to sit in the comfort of our own home with a beer or a cup of tea or whatever and watch the webcast. And good crack, Sizz and all. Make it lighthearted. They're not homers in any shape or form. They are Belfast Giants fans, so they're a wee bit, you know, imbalanced at times, but it's a really good product. If you can't get to the odd SSE on Saturday and Friday night, get the webcast. It's good value for money. They're well an early bird.
Talked about Higgins earlier. I think there were quite a few comments. I think it was the TSN picked up on the highlights and showed it, but also put a comment in, you know, about the commentary as well. So it's good to see that they're being recognised, you know, across the Atlantic also.
Oh, it says his commentary on the Higgins, the Forney goal is brilliant, because it looks like it's going to break down, because Forney's came down the left wing, cut across the blue line, he's dead a few times in the game, and fed it through to Higgins, and it looks like it's going to just open up for Higgy to get a shot away, and says it's like, oh, it could have been a great, oh my, what a goal, you know, and it just, that's the big man all over. He's heart in his sleeve when he's doing the comedy. He's the same if he was sitting having a drink with, you know, brilliant big commentator.
Yeah. Webcast available from Giants TV. Well, we heard from him earlier on in the show with the Taxi Award, so we've given Sizz enough airtime. Any other business? I'll start off myself. The NCAA Friendship 4 tickets are available for you to pick your seats. I know a number of season ticket holders have been down, and it's the last weekend of November. Of course, going to be a massive weekend, but Davey, it's been made even bigger.
Yeah, you going to give this to me, Paddy?
Yeah, I'm going to hand that to you, mate.
Mate, very, very good news coming from Texas, that British Hockey Hall, the life president of the Belfast Giants, Jim Gillespie, is feeling a lot better at the minute and is making the trip to Belfast for the tournament. It's going to be absolutely brilliant to see him again. He hasn't been in the Odyssey for a while now. Him and Mitzi are coming over, I believe. And lovely that you said at the weekend there that with the Odyssey SSE being refurbished, that took his seats out that they said would never be used for anyone else, and they've put them beside his Hall of Fame certificate and picture in McCool's. And if I see anybody else sitting on them, apart from Jim and Mitzi, you're going to get a dry slap. They're their seats. They're for a reason, but it's brilliant. Jim is going to be back in Belfast. Make sure you either buy him a pint, give him a hug, shake his hand, tell him that you appreciate everything you've done for the club, because if it wasn't for Jim Gillespie, you wouldn't be watching Belfast Giants hockey right now.
When we found out about this, I was absolutely delighted to hear that he was coming back over. And first of all, to hear that his health's improving, that was the main thing. And to hear that he was coming over as lifetime president of the club to come back to Belfast, to come back to Belfast Giants games, and to come back, especially for this being such a big tournament within the SSE and within hockey within Northern Ireland, and this guy being a key part of it, as you say, a Hall of Fame inductee, and a superb that the Belfast Giants were able to take those two seats and put them in McCool's. So, I agree with you. If you see anybody sitting in those seats, get them out of them. They're not being used by anybody but Jim and Mitzi. Aaron, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think it's great. It'd be great to see him back again. And I think it's also great that, you know, obviously he's coming back because of the tournament, but, you know, it's also great that there's the Giants game for him on the Sunday as well against the Storm. You know, and he can see how this year's team's shaping up.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful news. And now, any other business, or do we close with that? I think we close with that, gentlemen. I don't see anything better than that. Okay.
Fine, absolutely fine by me, mate.
And on that note, as I say, the two games this weekend on Friday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Get yourself down to the SSE or catch it on the webcast. And thanks for joining us as always, boys.
Good evening.
Very welcome. Thank you very much.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.